Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Love of your prophet, love of his family, and reading the Quran.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم has stated Anyone who recites 50 times درود upon me every day I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, welcome. Again, we are with the silsila Childhood Matters. And today we are going to discuss chemical poisoning, electricity hazards, and some other topics as well, if time permits us. For the expert opinion, we have with us Dr. Zirak Saab, who is a psychiatrist by profession and he has experience in this field, mashallah. Well, moving to the first question, chemical poisoning, Dr. Saab, the word is a very dangerous word. What do you mean by chemical poisoning?
Poison, obviously, when you hear the word, you think of, if I use the word zahar in okay. Urdu, so that may obviously convey the meaning. And people may think that we don't have zahar in our homes, we don't have poison in our homes, okay. So why are they actually talking about chemical poisoning? In essence, any chemical that we use in our home, that is for cleaning, that is for washing, either pots or basically clothes. So washing up liquids, soaps, powders, any sort of cleaning chemicals in the toilet, like for example bleach, or other items like shampoo, conditioner, soaps, toothpaste, and other things. Anything that is, these are all sorts of chemicals. If they actually go inside our body, then they will cause damage. So this is why we call them, we use the term chemical poisoning from medical point of view, that if these chemicals either touch our skin or we ingest them, meaning we eat them and swallow them, or we inhale them, meaning some chemicals are, if you actually smell them, that can also lead to damage. For example, paint or bottles that actually have... Or spray paints. So these have got these chemicals that can actually cause hallucinations and so forth. So these are all sort of chemicals that will be found in our own homes. And if we are not careful, our children and sometimes even adults may inadvertently end up ingesting them, inhaling them, or they will get in contact with our skin, which will cause all sorts of different types of damages.
Well, Dr. Saab, I'm not an expert in these issues. But if someone asks me what are the preventive measures, so I would say that first of all, keep them out of the reach of children so that children can't reach them and they can't use them. But there must be some other preventive measures as well. So in your own medical experience, what are the preventive measures in this particular issue, chemical poisoning?
Okay. Now, obviously, you mentioned the word keep out of reach of children.
Okay.
And if we look at all these chemicals, there is a warning
okay.
On the labels, keep out of reach of children.
Okay.
Now, we may think that we understand this term and we are acting upon this term. However, most of the time, this is the most neglected field.
Okay.
So, what does it mean by keeping them out of reach of children? Simply putting them behind a cupboard doesn't mean out of reach of children. They may open the cupboard and access it. Simply keeping them at a height in a cupboard is still not keeping them out of reach of children.
Okay.
Why? Because children can climb and get access to them.
Okay.
So, what exactly we mean by keeping them out of reach of children is what it really means, that if we can actually implement it, is put all these chemicals in a locked compartment.
Thik.
However, you know, viewers of Madni Channel and the parents may say that that is not possible. And I agree to an extent that this may not be possible in all of the chemicals. However, particularly dangerous chemicals like bleach or chemicals that are used to clean the windows and other sort of like worked up surfaces and so forth, at least they should be put in a lockable compartment that only you should have the key or access to. Take them out, use them, put them back in. Now, for example, when it comes to soap or washing powders or washing hand washing liquids, these can obviously be there most of the time in the home open. Now, we obviously have to take extra care and teach our children, tell them when they have the understanding that do not actually use them inappropriately. So, for example, simply by telling a child a few times that hand washing liquid or soap is not to be eaten, is not to be taken in the mouth. And if you take it, it will cause damage, it will make you sick, or it will cause damage to your stomach and so forth. And by teaching your child and making these statements a few times, they will try to obviously understand it and they will follow your instructions in that sense as well. So, for these chemicals which are mostly outside, and you cannot imagine putting hand washing liquid in a lockable compartment, and when you need to use it, you need to come and open, it will become impractical. But for these, you teach your children. But certainly, chemicals like bleach, which are not needed every day, and if a child ends up consuming bleach, this can actually cause a serious damage to their health. And there have been cases that bleach has caused such an extensive damage that it has caused death as well. So if the parents don't have a lockable compartment, it is very easy to actually get one. So try to actually assign a compartment in your own home with a lock on it and with these sort of dangerous chemicals in them. And for the others, teach your children that they should not actually ingest them.
Well, in spite of all these things, knowing all these things, sometimes parents, they are very negligent and they leave all these things open into the reach of the children. And now chemical poisoning is, Dr. Saab, something which I think parents are unable to recognize on time. For example, if a child has drank something like bleach, so 5-10 minutes he will be playing, and then later on when the color of the skin changes or he starts vomiting, so only then the parents, they will come to know that he must have eaten or drank something. So now, in this case, when it's too late or it's late, so parents, they come to know. So what should they do in this case?
So for example, the first and foremost is, as soon as the parents realize that my child has ingested something or they've consumed a chemical, then go and look at the bottle.
Thik.
On that bottle, and in fact, we should actually do this even before these accidents happen, so that we are aware. So for example, if it's a bottle of bleach that the child has opened and consumed, on the bleach, it will have written instructions.
Okay.
What damage it can cause, and if someone has consumed it, then what you should do. And all I would like to say at this time is just follow those instructions. And also call the emergency services at the same time. Call the ambulance, tell them that this is what has happened, this is what the child has consumed. They will also advise. Obviously, in your European countries, when you ring the emergency services, whether it is 999 or 112, the other important thing is they will tell you what to do. So that's a very important means of addressing the situation. And it is very difficult to give one particular advice because all different types of chemicals will lead to different results. One very important thing that I would like to mention here is that you will only know it if you pick up a bottle which has got a label. Sometimes we are in the habit of putting one chemical into another bottle which is not labeled. I don't understand what is the reason behind this. It may not happen as frequently in the European countries, but those individuals obviously who migrate from the Indian subcontinent and so forth, in here people obviously don't have enough resources. They may not have enough containers, so they may be into the habit of putting, obviously, for example, kerosene oil or, for example, spirit. So it is available openly in open containers, and then they will put them in unlabeled containers. So an individual who's looking at that bottle doesn't actually know what is in it. And obviously, if a child looks at something colorful, then they will actually consume it. And in news, different times, these accidents have actually happened, even in Western countries, where people have put chemicals in unlabeled containers, and then later on they couldn't remember what it was, they've consumed it, and in some cases it has actually led to death. So never put any chemical in a bottle that does not belong to that chemical. And just keep them in the container that they are in, so that if an incident does happen, then you know what exactly it is and what you need to do.
Next topic, which I feel, Dr. Saab, that parents, they must be aware of, that is electricity hazards. Here in Pakistan, sockets, they are mostly, on a very low level, and children, they can insert their fingers. And many a times it happens that wires are exposed in our homes, and children, they go and they touch them, and now they have electricity shock. So basically, what do you mean by electricity hazards in your field?
Obviously, if we look at Western countries, then they have got these sockets and plugs at the closer to the ground. So little children, they can actually put their fingers in the sockets. Now that can sometimes obviously give them an electric shock. So there are these covers that parents can buy, which they can put it in the socket, and basically that covers up the holes for the pin. Now what also happens is that parents, they have put the mobile phone charger, and they don't take it out. And many times adults, they are not in the habit of switching the button off either. They don't switch it off. So children, little children who are crawling, they may go around and they look at the wire, they may try to put it in their mouth, and obviously if they have got teeth at that time, then they will try to obviously chew it. And if they chew it, that will expose the wire. Or, for example, they will try to put the end bit of the mobile phone charger in their mouth. All of these are, they increase the risk of the child getting, electric shock. Now, obviously, this can be very dangerous and can even lead to death of a child as well. Also, in the homes, there may be broken sockets, which the parents have not taken the care to get them repaired. And laziness is the biggest issue and concern in this case. And if there is a broken socket, the child is going to be very keen and eager to actually explore it with their finger, what lies behind. And clearly, there are live wires in those broken sockets. So that is another thing that is very important and crucial, that the parents, whenever anything gets damaged, then they actually repair it. Now, fortunately, in the European countries or Western countries, the electric wires are mainly, they are inside or behind the walls, and they're not exposed. The only way they can get exposed is, as I explained, if there's a broken socket. So the parents need to be very mindful. Also what happens is when there are these what we call as portable appliances. So for example, sometimes there is a fan that you need to put on, and that has got obviously a plug and a wire. There may be portable heaters that are being used. So all of these we need to actually make sure that the children are protected from these electrical appliances and the wires, and all for this reason, that they don't get electric shock.
Dr. Saab, mashallah, you have mentioned all the preventive measures which were necessary. Now again, if something like this happens, so what should the parents do in that situation?
The first and foremost thing again is try to stay calm.
Okay.
Now what you need to do is, the first thing you need to do after that is unplug, switch off the electricity source. Now, if the child is still in contact with the wire, do not touch the child. You need to deal with the danger in this situation, and the danger is electricity. If the child is still in contact with the wire, the risk is that he is still getting the electric shock. And if you touch the child, then you will also get electric shock. So the first and foremost thing is switch off the electric supply, unplug. This means that you've dealt with the electricity danger. Now you have to obviously come to the first aid of the child. Now clearly, the biggest risk in terms of an electric shock is that the heart may have stopped beating.
Allah.
In which case you need to do what we call as cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Now, depending upon the age of the child, this is a very specific issue, and if you are trained, then you can do it. If you're not trained, or in either case, you will have to then call the emergency services, dial 999 or 112 from your mobile phone and tell them the child has suffered the electric shock. I have obviously removed, I have disconnected the electric supply. Now what shall we do? And they will actually then guide you through the telephone what to do.
The next thing which is very important in my understanding, crushing of the fingers. Sometimes it happens that children, they are playing and they put their fingers in the door, and now someone unknowingly closes the door, and now the fingers, they get crushed. So in this situation, again, the child is hurt and is crying. So kindly give us some opinion regarding this issue as well.
Obviously, crushing injuries, or children getting their fingers trapped in the door, or something actually falls either on their toes or fingers, is something fairly common. And most of us, if they think about it, they would have come across situation in their own home. And, you know, looking back into sort of few years down the line, I can think of these similar injuries happening to children in our family as well. Now, one of the common thing is that when children are crawling and they're very young, they tend to follow adults. And so I'm trying to get out of the room. And I don't want the child to get out of the room because they are with another adult and I want to leave. But the child tries to run and follows me, and I'm trying to get out. And what I try to do is I try to close the door to stop the child from coming out. But I don't realize that the child is so quick that by the time I'm trying to close the door, they've actually got their hand. So always, always, we have to be extra cautious that if we are going to close the door, the other adult is dealing with the child rather than them coming to us. And if we feel the child has actually reached the door, then stop. Don't close the door. Deal with the situation. Put the child away somewhere safe so that you can then leave. And also items, heavy items. What happens is if on a worktop surface there is a heavy item, the child is trying to reach. Obviously, as they get taller and taller, they will try to do it. Or they might actually put a stool underneath and try to get onto it if they can stand. So always make sure that if you are placing a heavy item on a worktop surface, keep it away from the edges. Keep it in the middle so that the child is not able to reach it. Mostly what happens is when they are kept on an edge and the child tries to touch it and the heavy item falls, and it will crush the fingers or it will crush the toes, which will actually cause fracture of the bone, and that obviously then becomes a problem.
Another thing which is very common in our society, children as they start growing, so they want to walk on their own, and sometimes they are on roads and they want to cross it. Now as they are crossing the road, so now they meet an accident, so there is a big problem. In which way you will discuss the road safety so that it can become informative for the parents?
Road traffic accidents are the leading cause of death for children.
Okay.
And it has a devastating effect both for the parents and for the child, that either the child may be killed by the road traffic accident or they will get serious injuries which will actually lead to long-term disability. And unfortunately, in Western countries, we may assume that the parents are very safety conscious. However, still, road traffic accidents happen. Children, when they are going to school and when they are coming back from school, they actually get injured by the traffic. Now, this could be either as a result of carelessness of the child or the carelessness of the parent, or sometimes there are reckless drivers who are driving at very fast speed. And if the child does come into the road when they're trying to cross it, then obviously they are unable to brake in time. So all these factors play a role. Now, from parents' point of view, it is extremely important that we are now talking about child as a pedestrian. Child is not in the car. Child is actually walking on the footpath or trying to cross the road, and they get hit by the other traffic. Now, for parents, it is absolutely important to teach their children road safety. The first thing that they can teach their child when they develop the understanding is how to cross the road. And basically, they can again use these informative videos which actually tell that, first of all, look to the right. Is anything coming? Then look to the left. And then right again. And if everything is clear, then you are going to move. But use two senses. One is with your eyes, watch, observe. And secondly, listen. Because sometimes it could happen that there is a bend. You may not be able to see the car, but you need to be able to listen. Is there a car coming? So first and foremost, the parents should teach their child this road safety, the how to cross the road. Also, it is very important that when you are going to cross, it is a straight part of the road. Because if it's a bend and you are going to try and cross it at the bend, then clearly there is more risk that you will miss the traffic coming from both sides. And there is a risk that when you are in the middle of the road and suddenly a car comes, the driver is not able to see you because they are coming around a bend. So never cross from the bend. Also, in European countries, we've got lots of cars standing parked on the road. So try not to cross the road between two cars. Always use the pedestrian crossings. And there are plenty of them on the roads. And again, teach the children the discipline. And sometimes what happens is, it's the parents' bad habits that get transferred into the children. For example, when we stop at a pedestrian crossing, you have to push a button. And initially there are signs, there is a red man, which means you do not cross. And then when the light goes red and the traffic stops, the red man turns into green, which means you go. Now what happens is, adults, they are with their children, they do not realize, they don't want to wait for the green man, the traffic may not be there, and they use their judgment to cross the road. Now for them it may be safe, but what happens is, the child, when they are on their own, they will say, I don't need to wait for the green man. Because my dad or my mom, they didn't actually wait for the green man. And the child may use his own sense of judgment, which clearly is not experienced enough. So now the child, using this judgment, tries to cross the road and it is unsafe. So always for the parents, it is a request that when you are with your children and on other times as well, just wait for a few seconds. And these few seconds could be a matter of life and death for your child.
Well, it is, I would say, one aspect of the road safety. Children, they are inside the cars and now they do something which is very dangerous for them. For example, they don't tie the seat belt, or if parents they tie, they untie it. So what do you say about this thing?
So basically, when the child is in the car, so the parents, or shall I say driver's responsibility, it is a legal requirement that anyone who is under the age of 18, the driver is responsible for the safety of the child in their car. So when you put the children in the car, make sure that you always use the child lock facility, which means that if the child lock is on, the child from inside cannot open the car door. That obviously children have no sense, or most of the time they don't know. So if in a moving car they end up opening the door, then that obviously is a big risk that they could actually fall. The second thing is obviously, sometimes children, they may not actually wear the seat belt. In which case, the parent or the driver will take the case of the parents. So the parents actually need to teach their children the importance of putting the seat belt on. They may have to use different means. Sometimes they may obviously have to tell them that if the police catches them, then the father will be fined because their children are not wearing the seat belt. Or to children, you can say to them, as per their understanding and intellectual ability, that they are breaking the law. And children in the schools, they are taught that do not break the law. So tell them that by actually not wearing the seat belt, they are breaking the law. And hopefully, what happens is that this will actually make the child wear the seat belt. And until they become punctual in this, the parents or the driver of the car, they say, I'm not starting the car unless everyone's got the seat belt. And the moment you realize that the child has taken the seat belt off, you safely stop, park and say, I'm not going to move forward until the child puts the seat belt on. Sometimes children, when they take the seat belt off, they actually open the mirror and they try to put their hand outside or they try to put their head outside, and the parents are actually unaware of it, or even if they are aware of it, they do not actually tell the child. This can be extremely dangerous and could actually cause damage to their arm or hand, or even serious head injury which can actually cause sudden death as well.
The next thing, Dr. Saab, which is very important in my understanding, cyber safety. Internet, everyone is using internet. And the children, they are fond of, playing games online and many other things as well. So cyber safety has really become a sort of challenge for the parents. So what do you say about this thing?
Now clearly, being a parent myself, I can fully empathize with parents that children can actually drive you crazy. Sometimes. And the easiest way that mostly the parents deal with it is, give them the phone and they start using the phone. Whether they're playing the games on it, whether they are using communication apps to chat with other people, the parents say, at least I'm not bothered, I'm actually at rest now, I can do my own things, and the child's busy doing whatever they want to do on the mobile phone. Now obviously mobile phone means internet as well. This is, I think, in this day and age, a very big danger to the children. And this danger has got multiple facets, multiple sides. The children can be bullied on internet through use of mobile phone. Children actually can end up purchasing items. Children can end up giving their identity, revealing their home address, and this can lead to identity frauds. Children, obviously, can be exposed to material that is completely inappropriate for their age and their understanding, and they can be heavily influenced by all these contents that are available on social media or whether on the internet. And parents are mostly unaware of these risks, or they are negligent of these risks, and they do not know how to deal with this, and they think that they are happy as long as the child is quiet and they are using the phone. But unfortunately, I would put it as calm before the storm. And very soon the problems will begin to arise. And parents, very briefly I would like to say, need to pay full attention towards this. There are lots of resources through which parents can actually learn about cyber safety. There are what we call in this day and age webinars, where there are different organizations who may be offering safety about the internet and the safe use of internet by the children and so forth, and the parents need to take advantage of that. Many times even on Madani channel there have been silsilas which have discussed about cyber safety, what measures the parents can actually use, and clearly you know, if we follow these instructions, then hopefully it will make a lot of difference. So in short, the parents need to realize the extent of the damage their child is exposed. Their parents must obviously give it emphasis on the dangers of their children using the internet and take it very seriously and learn about the dangers and treat them seriously. Because sometimes we can end up in denial. Oh, there is no danger because I'm using it safely. But you don't know how your child is using the mobile phone. And always, if you are going to give them, I think it's inevitable. You cannot avoid not giving your phone to the child. But if you have to, keep a very close eye on what your child is doing on that mobile phone. Otherwise, it will become too late.
Dear viewers of Madni Channel, I hope this silsila is going to prove very useful and very informative for you. Especially the cyber security has become a challenge for the parents of this age and time. We need to be very careful whenever we are handing over our cell phones to our children. We must be very careful that what websites they are visiting, to whom they are talking, and which communication applications they are using. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to become the real Muslim parents. Ameen. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Love of your Prophet, love of his family, and read